whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Fantasy camp. My peas are popping this morning in this headset, so I'm gonna move it away a little bit so it doesn't sound so terrible. It's good to be here. Good to have you guys with us, all the tier ones in the chat right now. Yeah, this is our second to last day at fantasy camp. It does feel like we've been here for a long time, and it makes me wonder what these players feel like when they're out here for 6 weeks or so. I mean, you just got to be. You have to be champing at the bit to get out of here and get back to Petco Park or El Paso or wherever they're sending you, man. It's not that it's not a great place. It is, but you can see the walls closing in a little bit, even on our little Benny right here in the middle. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning. Yeah, I came in this morning and I go, man, I feel like I've been here a while. You guys got here 3 days before I did.
Yeah, we did.
And you're right. I mean, spring training starts in a couple of weeks, and they'll be out here, pitchers and catchers, almost 8 weeks, some of them. I mean, our Sam Levitt will be here the entire time.
Ooh, Sammy does it.
That's a long stint.
It's like his fantasy camp, but you know he doesn't have to go through the drills and all that stuff. He works his tail off out here. Sammy's going to be bringing you guys great coverage of Padres spring training. And, hey, look, as it always is around these parts, it's nothing if not interesting. It will be interesting. It's always interesting. This is not a boring team by any stretch of the imagination. You know, this is not the Minnesota Twins. This is not the Miami Marlins. This is a different breed here, and it's always interesting. Not always good interesting, but always interesting. Paulie Reindel, the executive producer and imaging director, joins us as well. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you? What do the guys that have the contracts, the big money, what do? They just rent like a nice Airbnb for 6 weeks, seven weeks, or whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, younger guys, maybe a couple, 2 or 3 years, years in, they don't have that kind of money.
Yep.
Maybe they do, and it's important to them to spend it on a nice Airbnb. Maybe they're just where the Padres put them.
Yeah.
Obviously, the rookies, they're going to be in dorm-like apartments or something, but Manny, Tatis.
Yeah, big Bogey, Airbnbs.
Those guys. I don't know if you make enough, just hear me out. Why not just buy a spot here, and it'll be your spring training spot, and then you can watch it appreciate in value. maybe the rest of the year you get someone to manage it as an Airbnb for other people who come in. You
make like if you're Manny,
extra cash
plus
on the
million.
Side.
If you're
just
Manny, you don't want some dill hole staying in your house when
then
you're not.
You
here.
Don't have to. You just keep it up, and
you drop like $750,000 on a house
out here. $1.5 million, whatever. You know, on a golf course somewhere, and got a pool in the backyard, and you're set up for when you're here at spring training. I have to imagine that at least a few of the guys have just gone and bought their own places in Arizona.
Buying a house for 6 weeks is insane. It's insane work.
But when you make that kind
it's
of
fair,
money, what else are you going to do with
it's
it?
True.
I don't know
it's
why that
work.
Stuff always fascinates
well,
me.
Let's ask them.
When
let's,
we're out here,
we're
going to
be here. I'm just going to ask
when
them.
We're out here for spring training, we're in the parking lot, basically, and we see all their cars.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right. Are they paying a buddy to like drive their car from Miami to Peoria and then Peoria to San Diego? Because I promise you, they're not making that road trip.
I think Manny's full time Coronado now. He may be working out. I think he maybe spent some time back there. I might have seen him working out in Miami, but
I guess when you have that kind of money, you just throw it on a truck and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's exactly right. No, I want to ask those guys when they come out here, specifically him. So what do you do? I mean, because dude, he's such a family guy. I'm sure Yaine and their child will be here. And
they're probably all sharing a room at the Hampton Inn.
Yeah. And they've got crony bunking up with them. And in our fantasy world, it's like, oh, yeah, me and Merrill, and Chris, we're all staying together. Sanders here.
You think of a movie Major League where they're all in just the one room with the bunks.
The bunks, yeah. The dorm room.
Like a barracks.
They carry Wesley Snipes out.
Bro, it's funny.
On the first day.
Well, it's, listen, you ask.
Been cut already?
You ask any of these generations, you ask this new generation, and they'll give you, they need it a certain way. You ask Randy Jones what it was like.
In Yuma. 1974.
Exactly right. I mean, I've told the story before, but when he walked into the spread in there one day, he stopped at the door, and I was like, whoa, sorry, Randy. He's like, I can't believe this ass. And I go, what? He goes, look at all these guys got everything they need. And I go, what did you have?
When he goes, good Randy Jones.
He goes, impression. He goes, I know it hurts. He goes, I'd walk off the mound, I'd run my laps, I'd come in, they'd hand me a styrofoam cup of soup. And that's all I had the whole day. I'm like, Randy, you're joking. They serve better food in prison. He's like, on my mother, I swear. We had a cup of soup, and that's it. What, these guys got salads, all three kinds of chicken. This is unbelievable. We coddle these guys too much. Bro, you get that guy going. You get that guy going, and you can sit for hours. Let me tell you something. Getting the chance to spend some time with that dude the last few years, I love that man like he's my own flesh and blood, like my grandfather. Him talking about last night, and we'll run you guys through it, actually. We'll save it for the next segment. Ben moderated the panel last night at Fantasy Camp with the Cy Young Award winners, and it was Mark Davis, Jeff Peavy, and Randy Jones. And Ben, you hand the mic over to RJ, and he starts telling stories. The recall on him. I mean, how old is Randy now?
I think he just turned 75.
Turned 75. The recall on him. And I mean, I threw a 2-2 sinker to Bill Russell. He hit it to short. So-and-so threw it over to first. Then I went change up, curveball to the next guy. I'm like, this is 40 years ago. I cannot remember what we talked about on Monday or Tuesday. I really can't. Like, he is a wizard, and he's just the kindest human being. He's had some health issues, as you know, and he's still out here, man, making time for each one of these campers. He is a legend. He is exalted. I mean, he is just the best guy, and he was so funny last night. We'll talk about the Cy Young panel, which was incredible. Great job by Benny Higgins last night.
Thank you.
And then everybody.
Then we headed back to our Airbnb. We did not buy a place here in Phoenix area for fantasy camp. We're just staying for a few days.
Did you guys buy a home with my credit card?
Yeah.
It's very reasonable. It's only $400,000. Don't worry, Adam. It'll go up in value. You're good. You're golden. And I just have to say, I would never say this before. I made the mistake of staying up for the entire San Diego State basketball game. We can talk about that as well coming up. One of the worst basketball games I have ever watched. If you're just waking up and you didn't see the end, Aztecs won, but barely. And it was one of the hardest games I have ever witnessed to like watch. It was just ugly and painful.
I was going to say, I woke up this morning.
at about 3:30 and grab my phone to make sure, you know, family's okay, no emergencies or anything back home. And I flipped on X, and all I saw was like 14 Ben Higgins tweets about the Aztecs game, and I'm like, oh, this must have been a banger. So I'm scrolling through. I finally find the highlight reel, which was the highlights of the game. What lasted about 4 seconds. The inbound, the dribble down, and the layup.
4.5, I believe.
4.5 seconds of Wayne McKinney, and there's your highlight.
And you stayed up for that entire thing.
It was almost a three-hour college basketball game. There's no... I mean, you should go four overtimes. A college basketball game should never take 3 hours to play.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. But as you know, to win the game and essentially kind of save your season right there.
They did. They pulled it out, and we can talk about what went wrong, mostly went wrong, and a little bit that went right for the Aztecs last night. We'll talk Padres. There are some trade rumors floating around.
It's a buzz.
A little bit of a buzz. I mean, not like the hot stove, like the lukewarm stove,
more like
maybe.
The microwave, actually. Yeah, so, yeah, more like microwaving one of Randy Jones's cup of soups,
something like that. But we can talk about that. We've got some Michael King audio talking about his arbitration hearing that's coming up. First comments that we've gotten from Michael King, could be the first ever Padre to go to an arbitration hearing with AJ Preller in his decade. We had Roky Sasaki being introduced by the Dodgers yesterday.
That was something.
Getting some comments from his agent Joel Wolf
getting
about
some
the process.
Shots in. Getting some shots in to their little brother neighbors down south for sure. I have some commentary on that. And most people on social media that I saw last night, kind of able to see right through it, you know, honestly. And it's, I don't think anything this guy has said, I don't think he's spoken a word of truth through the whole process. Just FYI.
Phony.
That's not bitter. That's not sour grapes. I don't think this cat has said one thing that's true yet. The next time he says something true will be the first time. So...
I'm shy as I'm sitting courtside with LeBron.
Who, me? I hate the attention. Hey, Bronny, doing L.A. signs. Stone cold, man. Again, it's just more. It's more gaslighting from the L.A. Dodgers and all of their players. It's actually getting comical. So we'll talk about that certainly. But yeah, should be another fun morning here. Preparing to be dragged mercilessly by Brett Boone.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Brett Boone coming
on.
Yeah.
He got in my face yesterday. You guys were here, and mm-hmm. both of you said, just shut up. Stop. Save it for tomorrow. And he looked at me, and he goes, you don't talk. And I go, okay, done. He's pissed.
Let's just say Booney has some thoughts about Woodsy, the baseball player, that need to be
addressed.
That need to be aired out.
It was like
with
a
everybody.
Therapy session.
It really was. He's like, what's your problem? And I was like, what are you talking about? So, yeah, this will be fun. You guys can share in my misery. But, man, been a great week. I definitely I miss my family terribly. And was thinking about it when we were asked over the holiday and Christmas break, Ben, to look at trust and will. And both of us kind of looked at each other like, do I need a trust and a will? Do I need to get something like that done? Turns out we did.
You're not really gone right now. You're only sort of gone. But if you were ever really gone, you'd want to make sure that your family is protected. You don't want them to have to go through massive legal problems, massive probate court, maybe facing higher property taxes. You can avoid not maybe all of it, but a lot of it by spelling out your wishes in a trust or a will, specifically a trust if you want to avoid property tax reassessment for your house. Could be a lot bigger cost, and you can do that at trustandwill.com. Really easy process. It's all online. You just answer some questions. Very simple. I did mine and 15, 20 minutes. It really was pretty easy. If you want to get more detailed, though, you can do that as well. They have options for everybody.
Well, and listen, this is pretty important. A will or trust lets you name someone you trust to make financial or medical decisions if you are incapacitated, which could absolutely happen in both of our cases. So,
can I make your decisions?
I did not list you. Okay. I would trust you. I probably should have, actually. Secure your assets. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com. Use the code San Diego, one word, at checkout.
We'll talk a little bit about the Cy Young Forum last night after Kelly's first check of traffic here. Good morning. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a weird habit that you have, Benjamin. It's a very, very odd habit. What do you think it is? Your need to commentate.
I call it the It's the announcer's disease.
It's unbelievable.
I like to do play-by-play.
Of everything.
Everything.
Literally everything.
Paulie comes back breakfast. He sits down, and Ben goes, "What'd you get?" Paulie goes, "Yogurt." And Ben goes, "Yogurt. A yogurt parfait."
Yeah, I got yogurt with some blueberries.
Granola.
Blackberries and some strawberries.
Blackberries.
And he's just
strawberries.
Repeating everything.
Spoon. Bowl.
Think of it as vocal exercises.
Can you do those internally?
No, I don't think so. You really have to enunciate
chewing
everything out.
Swallowing.
The same reason why I, you
granola.
Know, point out the old country buffet.
Yes, bacteria,
Red
cultures.
Robin, Chick-fil-A.
It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, I was going to say, I think you're going to get me in a little bit of trouble. But it's not your fault. But we had our Cy Young panel last night, as you mentioned, at the end of camp yesterday. And I moderated with the three Cy Young winners who are here, Jake Peavy, Mark Davis, and Randy Jones. And you suggested a question.
Yeah.
It was, you know, what was the guy that owned you, and who was the guy that you felt like you owned?
Yeah, do you remember one that stuck out?
And I did a little research to try to, you know, help it out. And I have that I'm just compelled to kind of be overly honest. And as I was doing the research, I learned that the guy that Mark Davis may have owned more than anybody else was Terry Kennedy.
TK.
He was here.
Yeah.
And I called him out. It was like 1-for-21 in his career against Mark Davis. And I'm worried that
I don't think
TK's going to.
He wasn't here when it happened.
Oh, he didn't hear me say that?
No,
I couldn't tell. It was a big room. A lot of people were in there.
I think you're in good shape there.
But it was fun last night. Jake's great. Randy's great. And we met Mark Davis, had him on the air yesterday, which was really cool. I had never met him before, but it was fun to get to know a little bit about him as well.
To hear Randy Jones, when you mentioned the one that Randy Jones owned, I mean, the place actually ripped up in applause because it was Pete Rose.
Yeah.
He owned
183 lifetime average against Randy Jones, and he then came through with an incredible story I had never heard.
Yeah, unbelievable. He said I'd owned him. He just couldn't hit me. And, you know, so one time he came up, and he decided to bat left-handed, and he's a switch hitter. And Randy was a left-handed pitcher. And Randy, from the mound, he goes, "You sure you want to do this?" Pete Rose goes, "Shut up and pitch." Randy Jones goes, "Okay." He goes, "I went curveball, curveball, curveball. He's out. Struck him out." I was like, "God,
didn't even let the bat off his shoulder.
Didn't even take the bat off his shoulder." There's reams of those stories out here. And Randy is the master at telling them. He talked about, you know, pitching in those 1 hour and 28 minute games and whatever. He said the umpires loved him. He said they knew with me on the mound, I was going to be around the zone, so they'd give me a little bit off the zone. And he said I had the uncanny ability to go to throw it to the same spot 10 times in a row, which if you've ever pitched at any level, you know, is impossible. It just, there's very few guys in history that can do it the way that guys like Randy could. And he said, he said something really interesting to me, too, because in baseball in the modern era, as we've seen it, you see the manager get all puckered up and if he allows his pitcher to go through the third time in the order. So he, you know, they get the charts out and they start looking and the bullpen phone's ringing. Randy goes, "No, not me, man." He goes, "I love the fourth time through the order." He goes, "By then, my arm hurts so bad, I couldn't throw but 72-mile-an-hour sinker, and there's not a big leaguer alive that's going to wait on a 72-mile-an-hour sinker. So I throw that son of a bitch up there, and they pound it in the ground, and I was done." And I went, man, that is a different era. I can't even, can you imagine a pitcher letting a manager let a guy go through the fourth time through the order? No.
In his Cy Young Award season, Randy threw 315 innings and made 40 starts.
Yeah.
You'll never see that again in baseball, but, you know, he's talking about just throwing slower and slower. It's kind of why when, you know, a position player comes into pitch, you know, sometimes they have, like, surprisingly effective innings.
Oh, yeah.
Because big league batters just can't wait that long.
Can't
and,
wait.
You know, on such slow pitches. They're not used to it. It's a different style of batting.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you almost feel like every staff should have one guy like that. You know, and it just the change of pace guy. But I don't know, man. It was awesome. PV is great. One of the most dynamic guys that you will ever have a chance to talk to. Just telling stories. He told the taint story.
And I felt like I had to lead him down that path.
That was great.
You know,
it was great.
I'm sure not everybody in there had heard it before. And Jake tells it so well of his trip to Japan and seeing what Roger Clemens did to get ready, even for a exhibition game with the liniment all over everywhere, including
his tanks,
undercarriage.
Icy hot, essentially. Yeah. But it's like medical-grade icy hot, and they have some here in the trainer's room. It's like... It's like Thai food, level one, level two, level three. Like, you can't even find this stuff. It's so hot, and Roger Clemens, from head to toe, would cover his body.
Neck down, and I mean, Paulie says icy hot. Icy hot's like Cocoa Pebbles compared to the real stuff that you have to use a glove to apply. And so Peavy was watching him, and he goes, what are you doing? Clemens goes, man, game like this, exhibition game in Japan, he goes, I got to get up for it, right? I need to get up for this. He goes, I don't want to feel comfortable at all out there. I want to be mad. I want to be pissed off. This will do it. And sure enough, he was. So Peavy gets back to San Diego, and he goes into the clubhouse, and he says, all right, well, if it's good enough for Roger Clemens, it's good enough for me. He said, but I don't want the full body. He goes, I know where I can put it that'll, you know, just like Clemens did. So I moved everything out of the way, got a little dollop, whoop, right there where the sun don't shine, and he goes, needless to say, by the first inning, I was pretty pissed off and agitated, and I went, that is the most hardcore thing I've ever heard.
Also had Andy Ashby presiding over Fantasy Camp Kangaroo Court last night.
Oh, boy.
You didn't see me. I was standing in the back watching
I can hear you rolling your eyes, though.
Well, I was surprised because neither of you got called out, really, during Kangaroo Court, and I know that it happened in previous years, but you somehow slid under the radar this time. It is it's fun. I think it's one of the aspects of camp that people look forward to, getting basically teased and fined by the big leaguers as they all come up and bring their cases. You know, Mudd and Loretta and everybody go up and they pick someone out from camp and pick a violation, something, you know, against the ball player code, essentially, that you get fined for in Kangaroo Court.
You do. I do feel like some people use it as open mic night at their local comedy club, and it's usually the same four suspects that do it. And yeah, it just drags a little bit after a while, and some of the violations are pretty ridiculous, but it's part of the game.
If you wanted to really organize things, there should be like an application process, and only the five or six best cases get
allegedly
called to the
there
docket.
Was.
I believe
so was
that's
there?
How they all did right. it this year. Okay. It used to be
it was
an
a free for all,
free for all, and yeah, we would always get called out, especially it's like, oh, you guys missed a meeting. Yeah, we're working.
We're on the job. You know
the hallway.
You know that.
Woodsy popped out. Ha ha. Remember that? $20 fine.
Yeah. If I had to pay a fine for every time I popped out, probably I'd owe like $3,000. So.
But now, apparently, everything was submitted to Tom and Bill and Callie, the admins here, and then they kind of sifted through them. So that at least helped.
Thank God. No, I know, man. It drags a little bit, and again, it's the usual suspects that are like, hello, my baby. Take my wife, please. I can't take my wife anywhere. Like, it gets a little cumbersome. But some good cases, some decent cases out there. It's always weird to see campers attack the coaches. That's the one that makes me go, are you thick? Like, do you not know? Like, you don't go after your coaches, dummy. They come after you. But some of these guys had no fear.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, I want to talk about the trade rumor written about in The Athletic yesterday, both from the Padres' perspective and from the Minnesota Twins' side of things as well. And we can jump into what happened last night in Colorado Springs as the Aztec season was pretty much on the brink, coming down to the wire in overtime against Air Force. That's coming up next.
And quickly, before we sign off for commercial, I wanted to wish a very warm congratulations to our buddy Mark Wilkins, who is a father this morning. His son, Miles John Wilkins, was born early this morning. Baby looks healthy and happy, and Mark's been a contributor to the show. And congratulations and love you. I'm very proud of you guys and happy for you.
Underdog?
Right now?
Yes.
All right. The underdog is here. If you are in the state of California, you can now play Underdog Fantasy. I've been playing it for a while. I've taken a couple days off, again, because basketball is not really my game. It's not really the game that I like to pick and play fantasy picks with. So I'm waiting for the NFL playoffs, much like a lot of you guys are. That's going to go down this weekend. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. But they've got over 5 million happy players, $2 billion won. They make it fun and easy to cash in on all of your favorite athletes' performances. So you know how daily fantasy works. I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to go over 183. I'm going to go higher than 183.5 yards, right? Because I think he will have a decent game. You guys know exactly how this works. So hook up some entries. You'll have a shot to win real cash prizes all playoff long. Create entries with all football picks, or you can mix and match. You got the Farmers going on right now. Pick some winners there. So, Underdog, the best place to play Pick'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Woods. Deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
The Padres could be closing in on a potential solution for their catching shortage this offseason. According to a new report from The Athletic's Dennis Lynn and old friend Dan Hayes, who used to cover the Padres for the North County Times and now covers the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic, the Padres and Twins are in at least some quiet discussions about a trade that would involve veteran catcher Christian Vasquez coming to San Diego. Vasquez is a name, Woods, that I think we brought up fairly early in the offseason as one of the few potentially tradable catchers that was out there. And there's a reason why he is available. He did not have a particularly good season last year for the Twins.
I feel like he's been rumored here for the last few years. One of those guys that seemingly AJ was interested in, maybe at a couple of deadlines potentially, and now obviously with him being with the Twins. Padres signed Martin Maldonado. They've got Luis Camposano. Christian Vasquez, yeah, as you mentioned, you're seeing a decline in production the last few years for him, but as it says here in the article, how much of Vasquez's contract San Diego would need to absorb in a possible exchange? He makes. Now Dylan Cease. Okay, the Padres would like to keep Cease, but some rival officials believe A.J. Preller will ultimately have little choice but to move the pending free agent and his almost $14 million salary. Now, you can't go Dylan Cease for Christian Vasquez.
When I read the piece as well, I kind of got I had to double take and go. They're not talking about Dylan Cease for Christian Vasquez. They're not.
Why did they throw Cease in there?
I'm not exactly sure. I think other executives are trying to wish it into being because obviously there's a lot out there that would love to have a Dylan Cease. Vasquez, the Padres actually looked to sign him as a free agent before he signed a 3-year deal with the Twins prior to the 2023 season. He's got 1 year left on that deal for $10 million this year, which isn't, in modern baseball salaries, an exorbitant amount. But last year he hit just .221 with a .248 on-base percentage, .327 slugging, 7 homers, 27 runs batted in. Offensively, that slash line is actually worse than Luis Camposano, who hit .227 with a .281 on-base percentage and a .361 slugging percentage. Now Vasquez is probably a good upgrade defensively, at least, and is used to the rigors of being a starting catcher over the course of the season, and he could still bounce back and have a good year. Ultimately, there's just very little out there. We've talked about free agency, pretty much all the catchers who you would consider even possible starting options are gone, and the trade market is pretty thin as well. Vasquez is one of the only guys out there. So I think ultimately what you're looking at in this piece is that a little game of chicken. The Twins don't want Vasquez. They don't want to pay him that $10
million. $10
million. For this year, yeah. But ultimately, if they don't trade him, they're going to have to pay him the whole thing. A.J. Preller knows this. So he would like to acquire Vasquez, but he would also like to have the Twins pay off, I would say, a good chunk of that salary so it doesn't, go against.
Like half? More than half? Less than half?
I would assume that's the, with Luis Arraez last year, it was nearly the whole thing.
It was
other
the whole
than
thing,
the minimum.
Think, yeah,
I'm sure,
the minimum.
I'm sure AJ would love to acquire Vasquez and only have to pay the
didn't
minimum.
Didn't we get paid to take Luis Arraez?
Yeah, I think we actually did make money.
The Twins would probably go, we'll knock a million or two off, but, you should pay like eight or something. And now they're trying to find a middle ground somewhere in between. I don't think the prospect going back or whatever you would trade would be something overly significant because, again, The Twins really just want to $10 million and allocate it elsewhere. The Padres need a catcher, but they can't afford an expensive catcher, which is why these trade talks have been categorized as somewhat slow moving on both sides.
Yeah, the I will say this, man. I mean, look, you got to remember where we are. Okay, we're in Peoria at the Padres spring training facility, and the rumor mill is buzz here about guys got some word last night that Jerickson Profar and the Atlanta Braves are matching up and look to be a really, really nice fit, and that could be something that potentially drops in the next couple
of days. I'd seen
some
Braves Profar connections the last couple of weeks.
I saw it way early
in the offseason.
In this offseason. But
now, the Braves had gone out and they haven't done a ton this offseason,
yeah.
But they, I don't know if they're desperate for, but Jerickson would be an upgrade for them.
Be a great player for him. Be a great player for him, and you feel like that would be a place where he would do pretty well, I think.
Playing with Ozzy Albies, fellow
yeah.
Caribbean.
So yeah, I don't know, man. That's exactly that's allegedly the rumor out there. I hope that that's not the case. I do hope that he comes back to San Diego. But based on what the hubbub is around here, it looks like he and the Braves are a good fit.
And the Padres still are in need of a left fielder. You know, Jerickson right now would be the best option. In fact, you know, in free agency, I don't want to say only option, but there's not a lot. You know, after Anthony Santander signed, Jerickson was the kind of the last best remaining outfield piece that's
weird
there in free agency.
It's weird because all I ever hear is how easy it is to acquire a corner outfielder. I hear it like a mantra every offseason. Oh, don't worry about that. You can always find a corner outfielder. Great. Show me one. Can I have one? Is there one available that we can afford that is a good fit and is productive? You can always find one. Oh, you can always find one. You can always find a first baseman. Okay, well, why is Jake Cronenworth or Luis Arraez our first baseman this year? Those are the things you always hear. I think people just like to say them because it's not true.
Well, AJ's a very up-the-middle GM. Always has been.
Catcher,
you know,
short, second, center.
Drafting, international signings, trades, free agents. We know. Shortstop, center, catcher with Ethan Salas, you know, pitcher and a little bit of second base. Got Manny at third. Other than that, though, the you know corners until they moved Jackson. You know, Jackson Merrill got moved out to center, and I mean it's until Tatis got moved out to right. The corners have always been a question. First base has been a bit of a question.
Yep.
That's always been kind of the last thing that AJ does to address his team's needs.
Yeah, and you know, people in the chat saying, "Hey, look, good landing spot for Jerickson, if that's in fact where he goes." I did see that he doesn't play well outside of San Diego. Yeah, listen, he didn't play well in Colorado. And Colorado, I think, is one that you have to look at and say, that could be an anomaly. He played well in Oakland. He played well in Texas. He didn't play as well as he did in San Diego, certainly, but he played well. He didn't play well in Colorado. A lot of guys don't play well in Colorado. It's Colorado.
It's usually the pitchers who don't
What are you playing for? You know, I think Jerickson's a guy that needs to play for something. And if he goes to Atlanta, he'll be playing for something, 100%. And Janine makes a really good point. The Padres, conversely, the Padres don't play well without him. And he, you know, he thrives in San Diego. We thrive when he's on the team. So that would be a loss that you would have to.
The question has never changed about Jerickson this entire offseason. I worry about what the Padres look like without him because I've seen it before. Missing his leadership, missing his presence.
His irritancy.
And his production.
Yeah.
But I also worry about massively overpaying
for
Jerickson as well, for a team that can't afford a lot right now. You certainly can't afford to overpay for a guy who's going to hit, you know, 250 with 12 home runs, which is very much in the realm of possibility for Jerickson Profar this year. He may duplicate last year and hit 280 with 25 home runs, and then you go, yeah, we should be paying him. But do we know that he's going to do that again? Because he hadn't until last year, his entire career. He's always been a good glue guy, you know, could hit, well, you know, here and there, picking his spots, but was not an everyday player until last year in his career at all over a decade.
Well, listen, if you don't find a way to bring Jerickson back, and now you're talking about Christian Vasquez as your backstop. It does feel, you know, these are – you always want your team to be so set up that you're just adding complementary pieces. And when you start adding complementary pieces as your actual free agent position players, that's when it gets a little dicey. That's when it gets tough. And I do submit and do agree with you that this team won't look the same, you know, come July 31st. We all know that. It's the San Diego Padres. But that being said, when you're adding complementary pieces as starters, but you could say the same thing last year. You could have said the same thing about Gerson Profar.
Kyle Gashioka
was a complementary
piece.
A throw-in, if you will.
Yeah, Profar was a throw-in. They ended up both being absolutely essential everyday players by the end of the year.
Yeah, and I don't want to make some correlation in that article about Dylan Cease for Christian Vasquez. I think it would be lunacy.
That's insanity. Yeah.
Right, lunacy. And even if they throw in prospects and things like that, no.
You can get a lot more for Dylan Cease.
I think you can. So yeah, I don't want to add complimentary pieces and say, well, look at us, we made some moves and we're good to go, and we'll just roll and see what happens. That'd be kind of a tough pill to swallow.
Don't forget, the biggest fan contest returns on January 27th, this coming Monday. Our grand prize is a night in the Odyssey Suite with 20 tickets for you and your friends at a future Padres game. All you have to do is register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. And listen, when we announce names each day at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. for your chance to qualify. All right, we'll check traffic, and then I want to talk about the Aztecs game last night that kept me up. It actually even made it hard to get to sleep. It was stressful and just annoying. It was an annoying basketball game, and we'll get to that next year on 97.3 The Fan. So fresh off their loss to UNLV at Viejas Arena on Saturday, the Aztecs hit the road last night to resume their Mountain West schedule against Air Force in Colorado Springs. A couple of things working against San Diego State last night, Woodsy.
Say it.
Your favorite word.
Say it.
I don't know what you're referring to.
I want you to say it.
I was going to say that they were 1-6 at altitude.
There it is. Ding, 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 ding.
Altitude.
There it is.
Altitude.
I said if you could make love to altitude, you would do it. The altitude excuse.
Now, for a lot of the game, I thought, all right, San Diego State's going to end up winning by 10 to 20 points.
I like tickling you when I get you.
Which they were favored by 13.5, so it wasn't that surprising.
You both get it, Polly.
I think they were up by about
a little meatball. Our little meatball.
As many as 8 in the first half. They stretched it out to 10 in the second half. But they just could not stay out of foul trouble. First half, second half, within the first 7 or 8 minutes, Air Force was in the bonus.
Now, and were they BS calls?
No.
Good officiated?
No.
Okay.
So there's a difference between I didn't disagree necessarily with the calls. It's not like they were whistling phantom fouls. But if you're going to be that ticky-tack all game long, and, you know, Aztecs are moving and they're reaching for their steals, and you bump a guy, okay, there's a foul. There's a foul. Yeah. But this is how the Aztecs have always played defense. And generally, they don't get whistled for, what was it again? 50-something. I mean, it was an insane number of fouls in the game last night. 55 fouls total, 31 on the Aztecs in a game that ended up going overtime because Air Force actually had the lead for a lot of the second half. The Aztecs fought back, took the lead late in regulation, then Air Force tied it up, and they ended up going to overtime. Taj DeGorville had a chance to win it at the buzzer, but Miles Byrd fouled out, just 8 points, 0 for 6 on three-pointers, had a tough game. Nick Boyd fouled out, just 6 points, 1 for 5 on three-pointers, so they weren't getting any of their normal production from guys. In fact, if it weren't for Jared Coleman-Jones, his 14 points and 6 rebounds, and Taj DeGorville, his 11 points and 7 rebounds, Aztecs would have lost this game. So they get to overtime without most of their guys. They're you know, Kimo Ferrari's got to play. They're putting DeMarche Johnson in because they've got so much foul trouble. Air Force can't make a basket, though. They simply are living at the free throw line. They made 44 free throw attempts, making 30 of them over the game.
Wow.
The Aztecs were 17 of 27. So the game was just entirely played
At the foul line, the entire game,
and it was so hard to watch. The Aztecs didn't play well. They were outshot, out-rebounded, out-assisted, just like against UNLV, which is a huge concern against a team that is almost 300 in the metrics in Air Force. One of the worst teams in college basketball. Hadn't won since December. Had lost 8 in a row. Hadn't beat the Aztecs since 2019. This is a loss. If they lose this game, their NCAA tournament hopes are basically coming down to the Mountain West tournament.
And you got to win it.
You just, this is a, this would be a devastating loss. It's a somewhat damaging win, even if you pull it out.
It wasn't a good win, but a win is a win.
So,
and it was a season saving.
So they're
win
up.
For
so
now.
They, in overtime, they're up 2. They've given up 5 free throws, but Air Force hasn't made a basket. Air Force gets the ball back, though, with, you know, 15, 20 seconds left. Aztecs play great defense. Ball, you know, miss a 3. If they get this rebound, the game is over. But, of course, what happens? On the rebound, both go for it. Aztecs bump into them. Whistle. Foul again. And, of course, they've been in the double bonus for an hour and a half. So go to the free throw line for 2 shots with a chance to tie it and go to double overtime. Kid makes the first one. Second one clangs. Goes way off the backboard. Clangs, clangs again. Aztecs don't do a good job boxing out. Air Force Kai tips it in for the go-ahead basket. So now San Diego State is down 1 point with 4.5 seconds left on the clock. Dutch calls a timeout. All right, we've seen this earlier in the season against Utah State when they hit a 3 and the Aztecs had a few seconds left. You remember what happened in those last few seconds against Utah State?
No.
Yes, because I was there.
Wayne McKinney III had the ball. Play kind of broke up. Didn't go hard to the basket. Ended up pulling up for settling for a jump or a 3.
He was like 6 feet behind the line. They had a timeout. Everyone's like, call a timeout, call a timeout.
Ends up short, off the rim. Aztecs lose. This time they call the timeout. They get the ball to Wayne McKinney again. But this time,
saw this.
Wayne McKinney does not hesitate. He goes hard. Jared Coleman-Jones sets a screen.
Screen
knocks,
of the year.
Yeah, knocks Air Force kid on his butt. I'm glad they didn't call a foul. I'm surprised they didn't with the whistles. Wayne McKinney never stops. As fast as he can, gets to the basket, lays it off his fingertips with maybe 0.2 left on the clock. Horn sounds. Ball rolls off the backboard into the net. Aztecs win by 1.
I mean, the guy under the basket for Air Force was like, here you go. I mean, he's like, here you go. Wide open layout.
I mean, and Wayne McKinney, who had no points in the first half, finished with 18 points all in the second half and overtime to save the season for San Diego State last night.
Yeah, it's one you want to build off of, right? Like,
oh, no. This is one you want to forget, I think,
you
if
think?
You're Brian Dutcher. I mean, for Wayne, he wants to build on that. Everybody else, if you play another game like that
you're
against
toast.
Any other opponent, you lose.
But build off the...
That's like, don't even shower. Grab your stuff.
Let's get out of
here.
Get
on the bus. We are getting as far away from here as possible.
It's the altitude.
It's the altitude.
I mean, you can't deny the record at altitude is bad.
It's bad.
You know, I mean, both teams by overtime looked dead. It was like they're all slow. They were all exhausted. It was just, like I said, a 3-hour almost basketball game, which is insane. The one thing I will give the Aztecs credit for, which I thought was pretty amazing, playing 45 minutes of college basketball on the road in altitude, they only committed 6 turnovers. And that was the reason they won the game. They did not give up possessions. I think Air Force had like 16. Aztecs had 6. And that was the difference in the game. Season is still okay, but... There's nothing but warning signs right now for San Diego State.
Well,
what was a clear tournament team a week ago now is a very much a marginal bubble tournament team at this moment. Now, they could start playing well again. Maybe this is just a midseason lull. You know, maybe they will start playing better in February and March. But right now, they're playing their worst basketball of the season, no doubt about it.
You stayed up till what time watching? Like 11 o'clock?
It was Arizona time. Yeah, it was almost 11 by the time the game ended.
Ugh.
Aztecs will play at Nevada, another road game at altitude on Saturday.
A little meatball.
All right, we'll come back. I see some coaches coming in, so we can have some guests. I also want to get to that Michael King arbitration audio from the Corey Kluber podcast, all coming up next on The Fan.